Check it out with Jelani Kopp, correspondent and writer for the new PBS Frontline documentary, Whose Vote Counts, that premieres tonight, Tuesday night, directed by June Cross, produced by Tom Jennings. Kopp is also professor of journalism at Columbia University and contributor to the New Yorker magazine. We will speak to him about Biden's moral imperative to safeguard civil rights and Election Day violence, the histories. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. It's just about 6 o'clock, and wouldn't you know it, that means it's time for another edition of Off the Wall. We can start early. You want to start early?
Yeah, is this up? Is this working?
It's up, yeah.
Am I on?
You're on now.
Am I on?
You're on. I think so.
Hey, everyone. Hi. How's my voice?
You're off now.
Why would you do that?
Because mic checks are for before the show, not during the show.
No. Oh. I do what I want. Look, I...
Yeah, the other however many hours of the week, but this hour, we follow WUSB rules.
Okay, all right.
I didn't know there were rules.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know.
Lots and lots of rules.
I was told by the general manager that there were no rules in radio. Yeah, she said that to me.
Uh-huh. All right.
You know what? She might have meant just like, you know, in like a creative sense, but, you know, I might have that wrong, actually.
She might have been quoting somebody else.
Oh, she was talking about something.
That's entirely possible.
I don't know. It sounded really, really good. It was like, you know, there's no rules, and... I was like, yeah.
It sounds good, but...
I think I have tonsillitis. Okay. You know, you got all this stuff, like, you know, with the COVID in the air, the flu, you got pollution. There still might be some pollen from, like, all the trees, you know, finishing up.
Yeah, they're in the home stretch, aren't
they? Well into, like, the yellow and orange. But anyway, I'm just saying there's just a lot of things. I think, like, everybody's consoles are on, like, overdrive, just fighting every last bit of what nature has to throw at us. I never really had it, though, so I don't think that's true, but I had been having a little bit of it.
What, tonsils?
No, I've never had, like, really, you know, tonsillitis, you know, like, where you can't breathe or whatever. I've never had that.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing I haven't been afflicted with is tonsillitis. Knock wood. Where's wood?
There's
this wood?
There's some there. Yeah, that's wood.
That's plastic. No,
that's wood.
Ow! But now I've got knuckleitis. Ow, that hurts a lot.
You mean rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, my
rheumatoid arthritis.
I should have that looked at.
Can I
just hit it with my fist? Isn't that the same thing? Why do I have to knock it with my knuckles?
I don't know exactly what
effect
tradition. You're going for.
Stupid tradition.
I don't know what effect you're going for. But anyway, it's I just had a little scratch. I don't know. I just feel like there's been a lot. With... you know, stress and anxiety.
What do you call these things?
Final 2 weeks.
You have
I don't want to get into that. Do we have to?
Well, you sort of brought it up.
It's too much information.
Yeah, but you know, I've talked about kidney stones. You have the opposite of kidney stones.
All right, you know what?
What is it again? What are they called?
They're called throat stones.
Throat stones. I've never heard of this before.
Yeah,
I have never heard of this. But you actually, able to produce.
Oh God!
Not on demand.
That. No one's ever going to talk to me.
Listeners, it's not on demand, so don't send in requests.
Oh, it's so gross.
It is gross, but kidney stones are no picnic either.
All right. Well, now that we've established,
although
how
I did save one,
this show's
I did save one, just because I wanted people to know what I had to go through.
Is that what's in the sugar jar?
Oh please, even
right.
for us. That's
anyway,
but throat stones, yeah, that's something different.
Well, no, I wanted everyone to know, like. Tonsils are really important.
They are. But wait, if they're so important, why do people get them removed?
Because they're problematic, because they get irritated. People have trouble with their tonsils. Mine have been fairly reliable, and I will say that it is the first line of defense for your body's, I want to say nervous system, immuno-response
right.
to outside bugs and viruses and bacteria. You get stuff in your, you know, dirty mouth. The tonsils are there to create T cells and macrophages and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then
no, they're important.
They release all the debris, quote debris, mm-hmm. as a clump of white blood cells. And it's that's a throat. So it's gross.
Wow. Well, I learned something. I learned some amazing things.
I'm so sorry.
I've got some stories to tell. First, I have some exciting news. Do you remember? Over 5 years ago. It was, I think, August of 2015. Remember, we were at the studios, and the old studios, and there was this decree passed down. You're talking about rules. They talk about rules. We have decrees. The decree said that we had the Trump machine. Remember that? We had to say the word Trump.
Where did we put that?
That's gone. That's gone because when he took control, you no longer had to do that because everybody else was doing that anyway.
Didn't we light that on fire in the parking lot?
No, that never happened. That never happened. There's no video of that anywhere.
Okay.
So, no, that did not happen. It was retired.
You know,
it retired gracefully.
That must have been something else.
We have a delivery just came in. Well, of course, all of us in remote studios had to get our own, and it cost a pretty penny, which again did not come out of USB coffers. We all were paid out of our savings accounts. We have a new machine. All right, I'm going to press the button. You ready for this? Are you really ready?
I don't know. I don't really know what to expect. The last one was pretty predictable. It's kind of boring, actually, but.
Well, tell me, Kyle, tell me if you think this is boring.
Hello.
Oh, it's not very loud. Did you hear what that
I heard moat.
Oh, no.
It's like a thing that is around a castle.
Yeah. You know, I think we need to. We need to make some notes on this. But no, it said vote. We have a vote machine. As opposed to a Trump machine.
Wow. Okay,
now we have
that's
a vote, but it's not loud enough.
That's really helpful.
Yeah. But, oh boy, are we going to send this back? You know, we don't have much time. We don't have much time. This thing is supposed to say vote every minute.
Mm.
And that's supposed to encourage people to go out and vote.
So it's going to say it like 54 more times?
During our show, yes.
Okay.
But then it's going to keep playing on Finn's show and on the show after that and every single day.
Oh, that's why we had that extra tie line brought in, right?
It's installed into the transmitter.
Oh, so you have a remote activator.
We just missed it again.
Oh, no, I think I heard it that time.
Yeah, but it's not loud enough. It's certainly not as loud. Well, maybe that's the thing.
I think it's competing because there's still this music
that's
going
true.
On. And, I mean,
they are going over the same track. Okay, when the music ends, which is in just 15 seconds, I can turn this up and maybe it'll be loud. But the Trump machine was loud by default because that's just how Trump is.
Don't we know it?
All right. Well, it's being magnified now. So hopefully, when the next one comes around, it'll be legible. But yeah. So elections are coming up 2 weeks from tonight. Is that really true? Today is what, the 20th? 20. My God, 2 weeks from tonight. Wow, you mailed your ballot, right?
Oh yeah, it's already been counted. Actually, I checked.
You checked?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's good.
It worked.
That's good to know. I will be doing it in person. I think that's the only way to really. Well, it's not the only way, obviously, to do it, but It's traditional. I kind of want to see what it's like.
Vote.
Ah! Okay. All right. That's louder. All right.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Well,
speaking,
it's supposed to give you a heart attack. That's
which,
the point of voting.
Right. Okay. So.
Oh, speaking of heart attacks. Oh, so I had my stress test the other day. That was fun. A nuclear stress test. I highly recommend it. It takes 4 hours.
Well, from what I understand, the anticipation of it was worse. Can you explain how this went?
You know, all through my life, I've had trouble with anticipation. And what I mean by that is if I have something to look forward to the next day, I have a lot of trouble falling asleep. Like, for instance, Christmas Day. You know, Christmas Eve, you fall asleep, and then memories of running down the staircase, and there's, wait a minute, I grew up in a ranch home. Why do I have that memory when I never even lived in a house with staircases?
That was the best. I had a staircase.
But that's the memory I have, is running down the staircase. I never had a staircase.
Vote.
Yeah, thank you. I will. Wow, okay. So, no, I simply moved from one room to another, and there, the Christmas tree.
That must have been like a TV, like, inception in your memories.
We had an aluminum Christmas tree, by the way. We never got a real tree. Another reason I got beaten up as a kid, because I don't know how the bullies found out I didn't have a real tree. Maybe because they inspected the trash in January or something. I don't know. But, yeah, so there was that anticipation.
I don't want to make everybody feel bad, so I'm just going to...
What, you had...
Keep my upper...
You had a majestic...
Well, I mean,
pine tree.
I know it's some people have low self-esteem. I just don't want to. I don't want to exasperate.
You had your
that.
Own carolers brought in, imported from Norway.
I'm just, you know, there's no need. There's a lot of details. It would take up a lot of the show too.
Bing Crosby showed up one year.
Yeah,
sang White Christmas, Seattle version. Anyway,
not everybody gets that. I'm sorry,
but
sorry for you.
I couldn't fall asleep on Christmas Eve.
Vote.
If we had our five-borough bike ride, we've done that a few times, and you have to show up at 6 in the morning, I couldn't fall asleep. There were a couple of rides. Well, I didn't have any sleep the night before, but I still did it. I still did the five-borough ride, 40 miles.
A lot of it is our schedule, too, because we're not typical, like, 9 to 5. You know,
no.
We like to change it up.
Yeah.
We keep it different, so...
We go to sleep late, yeah.
You know. When it called.
Remember the Hamventions in Dayton, Ohio? Yeah, that's a good, it's like 12-hour drive.
Right, I was just going to say, that's the night before a 12-hour drive. You definitely, you know, did we pack everything?
It's a 20-hour drive in the 2600 van, but that's another thing. But yeah, imagine not being able to fall asleep the night before that. I remember one time I was in Chicago,
okay,
and I couldn't fall asleep before I had to drive back to New York. So I'm able to do things without any sleep, but I have trouble falling asleep. I had trouble falling asleep before my stress test. Because I was worried about it, you know. You have to. I'm woefully out of shape. I'll admit that, and I was worried about not being able to get my heart rate up enough to be able to do the test. You're supposed to.
Yeah, explain how they do it. It's like a treadmill, right?
A treadmill or a bicycle. I wasn't sure which one they had, and you're supposed to get your heart rate up pretty high, like depending on your age, up to 160 beats a minute, 180 beats per minute. Yeah, more than I'm used to, and. I was worried, you know, if I pass out on this thing, or I'm not able to do it, and just all kinds of things to keep me up. So I had maybe 2 hours sleep, and I was really, really worried about that. And then when I went in, I got a real free pass on something, because apparently, because of the COVID virus, they can't do the actual physical endurance. They can't have the treadmill. They can't have the bicycle, so they have to give you a drug instead that mimics that. And that's fine with me. I can just sit back and relax and take the drug.
Vote.
And it's weird, too, because I'm totally used to the vote machine now.
Yeah, I don't even hear it.
It's seamless on our
program. I thought it was my
schedule.
Inner voice.
Listeners, you will love this. Mm-hmm. You know, during all the reggae programs and the disco programs. Do we still have a disco program? I think we do.
Oh, no. They got a cease and desist.
Huh. How about that?
Yep.
Well, anyway, we still have the Barbershop Quartet Hour, though.
Well, we tell them they're on the air, but actually we just don't plug anything in. But, yeah, they still come in.
That's our version of another channel. So they gave me this drug, and they tell you what it's going to do. They say, yeah, you're going to feel some people get a headache, some people just feel weird, which, all right, I'll embrace that. And you just might feel all kinds of strange sensations, and they give you that for about 20 seconds or so, then they inject you with something that counteracts it. And so it's just basically lying down, getting pictures taken and things like that. So it's still 4 hours long, but I was able to do it a lot easier. And I would have fallen asleep the night before if I knew I didn't have to worry about actually exercising, which I'm still going to do. You know, I it's important for all of us to do this. I know I say that a lot, but, you know, all kinds of things get in the way, and this is something that...
Especially when people are inside for the winter and fall, the, like, sort of autumn changeover, it's harder to go out and bicycle and maybe, you know, be active on the beach. So you definitely want to get some kind of routine that works for you as the days get shorter and there's less opportunities to be out and about getting, you know, physical activity in.
It's just the days go by so fast, and then all of a sudden it's nighttime, and you can't really go out on the bike. I know you managed to do that, but, you know, you're more rugged than I am. But you almost ran over a wild turkey once, and that scared me. Like, what if that happened to me? I wouldn't handle it nearly as well. I'd make enemies, too. So, I don't know. We all have to find our niche, our way of staying fit.
I love bicycling. It's my favorite activity.
Yeah.
And I always remember this saying with anybody who's done downhill skiing. I mean, I was on downhill skiing race teams, so I competed. And one thing when you're a skier, like the skier's code of conduct is always ski within your limits. So I try to remember that when I'm going down the hills. You know, don't try to run over all the animals on the way down. Just, you know, avoid as many as possible, but still have some exhilaration, because that's your reward for going up the hill.
How many different animals? You almost ran over a cat, too, but that was the cat's fault entirely. The cat even knows that. And turkey. There have been deer. Did they chase you? I think they did. Or they stomped their... Do you know deer stomp their foot at you?
Oh, yeah. Deer stomp.
Yeah. Deer, and it's like, really?
Vote.
I mean, deer? Do you know your reputation? And they're threatening you. Can you imagine being attacked by a deer?
Yeah. I don't actually want to imagine that. But since the hunting season, I feel like that's been less of a threat.
Mm-hmm.
The turkeys are thinning out as well. I don't know if they're... I don't think they're hunted, but I think that... the last I saw, there was like a group of six, and then there was four that would, they see you and they would come up, you know, running in your direction.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And they're fierce. They're fearless. Maybe because they're kind of bird brain.
I like animals that chase us. I do. Especially ones that are smaller than us that chase us anyway.
You know, it is actually kind of a thrill because every time I see them or I'm looking out for it because I know, you know, they will come for me.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But, that group of four has... That thinned out, and a couple weeks I saw two, and then I saw one randomly looking like all kinds of frazzled, like it just had a couple of feathers pulled, and it looked really stressed out, kind of haggard.
I think there might be more than that. You just don't see them, because there do tend to be packs of 20 you come across occasionally. And by the way, you mentioned hunting. No, you should not hunt wild turkeys ever, because wild turkeys are great for getting rid of deer ticks, for one thing.
And clearing out
the brush and pests and things like that. You should be trying to attract wild turkeys if at all possible. And there are all kinds of guides on the internet as to how you can attract wild turkeys. They are some of the best creatures we can have around. And yeah, they may chase your children. They may intimidate your dogs and cats a little bit. But come on, they'll live through the experience and they'll be a little bit more humble.
And some of these kids need the exercise. But
I've also seen
groundhog. I actually know where the groundhog lives
that
now.
That bastard. No, well, seriously.
A relative?
No, you brought this up, okay? Now, my sunchokes, I got two flowers on my damn sunchokes this year.
Vote.
Because of that groundhog, all right? I should have had 40, 50 flowers. But he decided to chew through a fence to get to, just for spite. There's nothing particularly good about sunchokes for a groundhog, but he destroyed those plants. They had to regrow, and they never made it in time. And now it's too late. I never got my flowers.
Yeah, that is really disappointing. But I'm pretty sure it's the same one, and I know exactly. He lives in like the bottom of a tree, or at least he has a hangout.
You know where he lives.
I know which tree. Yeah.
Will you show me where he lives?
I'll show you.
I just want to talk to him. I just want to have a little sit down.
All right. Yeah,
all right.
We can do that. And I think dry ice pellets are really, really bad for them. I think it asphyxiates them.
Huh.
You just throw a bunch of dry ice pellets and pound the dirt over them.
Learned something today.
And they
Thank you.
Die.
Well, let's not get too dark here.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is...
No, I just want to have an understanding, you know, and certain things have to be off limits. Okay, anyway.
Vote.
Yeah, important things, thank you. Important things to talk about. Voting is definitely one of them. I can't stress this enough. You voted? It felt good, I guess?
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a bunch of interesting stuff, specifically improvements to Harborview, which is the only Tier 1 Level 1 trauma center in the Northwest, serving Idaho, Montana, Alaska, Washington, and Oregon. This is a big deal, and there's a lot of old rooms that share things, and the ventilation's bad, and Harborview actually had an outbreak last week in their surgical suites. 7 people came down with COVID, 2 people died.
Yeah, that's not good. So
so they need that passed so that they can improve the only trauma center in the Pacific Northwest. There's a bunch of different initiatives I could go on and on about. So to that end, yeah, it felt good to, like, support the things.
Vote.
And to have some help. The Stranger Election Control Board had a really good guide that kind of cuts through a lot of the BS. I know there's as many guides and sources of information so that people out here can do the same thing, because it's really hard sometimes to discern exactly, especially on some of the down-ticket races, it's really hard to tell who's actually good. You might switch parties, you might not this time, but in some cases, it may be really important to support somebody that isn't necessarily on the party line, but not this time.
Well, the Washington ballots always strike me as being so thorough. There were so many resolutions. What do you call those things?
Propositions.
Propositions, that's what it is.
Well, there's a lot of stuff because of Tim Iman. He's this insane jerk.
Vote.
That puts these measures up that basically force the voters to reaffirm something that, you know, they have to be taxed.
Wait,
in some way.
One person does that?
He's made this his life's work, and he's the bane. He's like a pariah to Northwest politics, and he's basically, it's his life work to.
He's like the guy that comes to a meeting and keeps saying point of order.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So he puts these measures on to remind voters that they're being taxed for something probably important and they have to uphold it or whatever.
But what is his role? How does he get the power to do that?
I don't know. Probably through a lot of different shell lobbying entities.
He's not an elected official? He's not in.
I don't know his whole story, but he's a serial pariah we all know about.
But you get to vote on all kinds of different things. Like, there's like 20 or 30 resolutions, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And, like, his are at least, like, half a dozen of stupid measures by him.
Vote.
I think this time there were only about 4 or 5. But, yeah, like, that ability for, renovations, as I said, mm-hmm. I'm kind of blanking on exactly all the other ones. I think there were like 50 or 40 different
wow.
items on the whole ballot. It was really comprehensive, definitely.
That's probably why Washington doesn't have walk-in voting anymore, because people take too damn long going through all those things.
Yeah.
Washington
yeah.
is 100% mail-in, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, I read today the Seattle Times reported that there are like at least 5 different locations where the ballot drop-off boxes are full.
So what happens then?
They have to empty them.
No, are they spilling out into the street? That's not something you want.
There's a lot of voting going on and a lot of ballots being dropped off. So make sure you're registered and go and do it wherever you are or
yes.
wherever you aren't because of travel restrictions or whatever.
The best thing you can
vote.
Thank you. I know that's the best thing you can do, but the best thing you can do before you vote is go to vote.org. You can look yourself up. You can see if you're registered. You can see where you can vote. You can see how you can vote early, et cetera, et cetera. The important thing is to get out there and do it, or have the ballot come to you and do it inside your house, you know, whatever you're comfortable with in these crazy times.
I think it's really important, too, because there are a lot of people that are going to be affected by what has occurred and what will occur in the next 4 years that can't. I'm specifically talking about students, young people. They're really counting on people who can vote mm-hmm. to do the right thing. And I really take that obligation seriously. because I know there are a lot of really, really motivated people who have done everything they can, but they're just not old enough. And I know what that was like.
Right.
When I first started voting, I had just missed a presidential election. So 3 years in, I got to finally vote in a presidential election.
Vote.
And I'm sorry, my life has been defined by Reagan, Bush, Trump. So
oh, you left out Obama.
And Clinton. But
and that's right. You left out him, too.
Yeah, but those, I think, are the ones that have annoyed me the most.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, so that can delay. You know, you're 18, but you don't get to actually participate in a presidential election until you're, what, 21? I mean, that can really bum you out as a new voter. But it can also motivate you to be involved for life and be a serious political and news junkie, of which I'm guilty of. So all's well that goes some way or another.
Well, it's interesting you say that your life has been dominated by these people. Because when you look at the actual election returns, you see that the last time Republicans won the popular vote in a presidential election was 2004. It's now 2020. The last time they won the popular vote was 2004. And before that, the last time they won the popular vote was 1988. And yet, we've had so many years of Republicans in power. It's crazy, and it's testament to a system that needs to be changed. 1988, 2004. Every other year was either a Democrat or the popular vote differed with the Electoral College.
Yeah, it's dominated the majority of my life, and it has not served me, my interests, or the interests of people I really care about that I know are affected in perhaps ways I don't feel.
And keep in mind that 2004. That was Bush being reelected, and if he hadn't been elected in 2000, if the Electoral College hadn't dominated instead of the popular vote, then he wouldn't have been running for reelection in 2004. So, who knows? That could have been completely different.
It's really important. So make sure you're taken care of, and take care of other people. Make sure they get to the polls. They're doing their
vote.
Thing.
You mentioned the three of us were in agreement. That you mentioned that kids need to feel empowered, but especially those kids who are at college campuses now. And I realize this pandemic actually can be a good thing as far as making it a little bit easier. Sometimes people, when they go off to college, aren't able to vote because they're only allowed to vote where they live in their hometown, and they can't go all the way back to vote. And
if
you know,
the state doesn't have absentee or mail-in options.
Yeah, but now you can have your absentee ballot, if necessary, mailed to your home and then forwarded to you at college, and then you can mail it directly yourself. It's easier for you to vote from a different location. I think it makes a lot more sense. That was always something that bothered me. I was part of the fight to get voter rights for people on college campuses, so you can vote where you go to college, which, you know, at Stony Brook, that made a lot of sense. But there are places where that isn't happening.
Vote.
And it's important that people are able to get access. So, yeah, look at this as a way of making it a little bit easier by using the mail instead of having to show up someplace in person.
And it's the one thing that standardized testing teaches you is how to fill in bubbles.
That's true.
If you learn nothing from standardized testing, you will learn how to fill in bubbles.
With the right kind of pen. You know, make sure you do that. I don't think you're supposed to use a pencil. I'm pretty sure they're clear on that. So Trump says, he said this today, that he is certain he will win Long Island. He actually said this. He will win Long Island and upstate New York by a landslide on Election Day. And argued that the entire state still remains in play. Well, I don't know about that. But I do believe it's entirely possible he will win Long Island, because I don't know what is wrong with this place. There's so many good people, so many progressive policies and ways of life, but for some reason...
Vote.
Yeah, for some reason, there are these... I don't know how to describe it.
Necklace troglodytes?
Well, you can physically try to describe them, but it doesn't necessarily hold, because the people from all walks of life that buy into this, I mean, look, over the past few days, we had one of those Trump traffic jams. What were they called them?
Oh, caravan.
Caravan.
Truck caravan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they drove through Port Jefferson and Setauket and Stony Brook, and it was I wasn't there, but from what I was hearing, it was close to 1,000 cars. Imagine that, 1,000 cars. And these things are having an effect. You know, when he goes to the rallies and when there are events like the caravans, for some reason, that boosts the numbers. That makes people say, oh, yeah, there's more people. I guess that means I'm going to vote that way, too. I don't understand that, but...
Vote.
But it is definitely something that I think in 2016 we didn't take seriously, and in 2020 I think we have to take it seriously. What is it that's motivating people to be a part of this, despite all the evidence that, you know, points to it being insane? Maybe me using a word like insane is part of the problem, because being dismissive makes people want to fight back even when it doesn't make any sense. I don't know. I'm trying. You know, we saw a documentary the other day about...
As if there wasn't that much dismissiveness from them.
Well, exactly, yeah.
I mean, give me a break.
Well, it goes both ways. But we saw a documentary about the progression. And looking back at the media in 2016, I get it. I see why people are resentful of just the assumption that Hillary Clinton had this in the bag, that she was going to win, and that these other people weren't going to count. So I understand. I understand fighting back against that and just kind of celebrating in the fact that the whole system was turned on its ear. You know, if it was another candidate and a different direction, I would be doing the same thing. That part I get. That part I understand. And just, you know, I was no Hillary fan from the beginning, but...
Wait, why do we have to relive this?
Well, because I think it's important. If you don't understand history, you are doomed to repeat it. My history teacher taught me that.
Yeah, but who's not clear about this?
Well, apparently...
What's confusing?
It's not confusing. I think we just aren't facing it. All right? These people out there that
they
are doing this thing...
They have enthusiasm, but they don't have the numbers.
Well, they don't have the numbers here. Well, on Long Island, they might. But New York, they apparently don't. But other states, they do. I'm wondering...
Vote.
They're not going to go away after November 3rd. Those people are still going to be there. And...
That's true.
And if Biden doesn't do a good job, and he's being given an impossible task by Trump, you know, the economy will be in a spiral probably. That's going to be blamed on him by people who know exactly what they're doing and by people who don't know any better. So... It's entirely possible we could be going through this again in 4 more years, and it could be Trump once again, or a different Trump. Yeah, so we need to understand what it is that motivates people to be a part of this. And it's that rebelliousness that I can understand, all right? And the rest of it, the part I can understand, I'm trying to get my head around it. And I think that is part of the pushback, where no matter what, you're going to defend somebody. Like, okay, let's try this scenario. You're loyal to your family.
Vote.
In general, not anyone in particular. But your dad's a bit of a dick, all right? And people in school tell you this. You know your dad's a bit of a dick, but you're still going to defend your dad in school. So you're going to say, what'd you say about my dad? And it doesn't matter that they're right. You're going to defend him. Because you believe he's a part of you.
And you're a stupid kid.
Okay, fine. Leave that part out, but just try to understand why people try to defend something that's indefensible. It's because they feel like they're being attacked. They feel like there's no other option for them.
They're insecure because they know it's wrong.
All kinds of things.
Yeah, it could be any of those things.
I just, my point is... I don't believe everybody that is a part of this is inherently evil. I think many of them are simply misled, feel they have no place else to go, see acceptance in this particular corner.
Vote.
Well, I can see, like, the affinity of it, like the affinity group.
Right.
Thinking you're welcome because they're welcoming anything and everything.
But don't you see how it could be fun to completely turn the system on its ear? To have the media say this, and for them to be proven entirely wrong, to have all these people who feel like they're entitled to something not get it, you know, without any understanding of what it is they actually stand for and how they could benefit you, just that alone, because you feel like they don't see you. And somebody else, even though he's the worst person in the world, and you know deep down that he doesn't really represent you, the words he says somehow resonate. And someday, I'm convinced, someday, all of these people will see that he has been bad for them. The question is, how do you admit that without looking like an idiot? You know, that's the thing. And people are loath to admit they're idiots. So
yeah, I think a lot of people are going to take it to the grave.
Maybe.
I really don't think people have the humility.
But this is where I think a candidate like Biden is good, because he can open the door and forgive. You know, maybe that's too strong a word. Or just listen, you know, embrace people from other places and just draw them away from this darkness.
It's to me, just there's so many important things that need to get done. And there's been such stagnation in D.C. and in national politics and in our country, period. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about 20 years of wars. I'm talking about everything before that. I mean, we can go on and list off what has distracted this country from taking care of its people, having a workforce, and having an infrastructure that supports an emerging and developing, high-tech or future economy. You know, this great promise that the technology and the internet was in the last 20 years is sort of being wasted, because we're not building the things around it that it could power. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways. And I just find there's so much aspirational stuff out there, but not enough concrete action. And that's why I've lost my sense of humor. Like, I don't think it's fun. Like, I think they're having fun, and yeah, they want to embarrass or be right and make the opposition to them look bad and get whatever of their little pet religious or whatever projects they want through.
Right.
And then, of course, irritating Democrats or liberals.
But
or
I think
the
that's it.
Side.
It's irritating. Yeah. And I get that, because, yeah, people are easily irritated.
Vote.
And sometimes it's fun to irritate people. And people on the left do it all the time to other people on the left. So I can see that. I don't agree with it. I don't condone it, but I understand the human emotion behind it. We just need to get past all of this.
Right, and that's the seriousness. We're not.
Well, hopefully we are. Hopefully things will change, but it really depends on what we do in the months ahead. You know, how we move in a different direction, the ways in which we do that. There's a lot of possibility, a lot of good things that can happen if we're not too timid. You know, we have to really push agendas and not try to compromise on everything, and just see what we can do differently. Because obviously, more people want to do different things than what we've been doing in the last few years. It's been a nightmare mostly.
Truly, I feel like it's been an enormous waste of time. An enormous waste of time.
It has
all
been,
of it.
But we've learned a lot about who we are. I mean,
oh yeah,
come on. 4 years ago, we were saying on this very show, "Do you know anybody who's going to vote for Trump? We don't know a single person. Who are these people? Where are they?" Well, it turns out they were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't seeing them. They were hiding. Now they're not hiding.
Yeah, and they're marked forever.
Okay, great. Say that, but they're going to be around, a lot of them. It's going to make your life very difficult to constantly have a list of enemies that you're never going to trust for anything. You know, and these are people.
How do you trust people like this?
You trust people like this by seeing them in a different way. For instance, you know, your mechanic, did he vote for Trump? You don't know. The guy who makes a sandwich at a deli, you don't know these things. These are people you interact with every single day on a different level, and you're perfectly fine with them. You know, the guy who saves your life in an ambulance, you don't know anything about them. But people reach different conclusions.
Vote.
And to just simply dismiss and condemn, I don't think that's the right way to go about it. You know, I don't think we really have a choice. We have to figure out common ground, and we have to move in a better direction than what we've been doing. You're looking at me like I have two heads. Look, I'm just trying to be realistic here. It's been a nightmare, and it's not just suddenly going to change. because one candidate wins over another. There are still going to be all kinds of problems. We need to be able to reach those people that have not completely gone into the white supremacy zone and, I don't know, build something a bit better than what we have had.
I don't know. I think all of them are co-signing on the worst tendencies of this country, and I will not stand for it, and I will not forgive it.
All right, but you're going to be angry and you know, have a lot of enemies for a long, long
vote.
Time. For a long, long time, because, like I said, there's a lot of people around who buy into this. I think understanding how they were driven to that in the first place, what it is that sucked them in, and just not make those mistakes again. Because, you know, we always said that the things that happened in the past, the horrible things that happened in history, could never happen here. I always had a problem with that. I always knew that any nationality, any religion, any group of people is susceptible. And do we believe we're not susceptible as individuals? No, we could get sucked into something bad as well. I'm sure we could. The thing is to realize when you have, and to have a place to go once you make that realization. And that's what I hope we see in the years ahead, is people realizing, well, that was a bad idea. it sure went sour. Trying something else.
Vote.
Trying something else. Okay, so now we have, with this pandemic, all kinds of people acting like idiots. I mean, look at that. That is something that, right away, a disease that kills you, you're basically embracing it. You're saying it's not going to affect you. You could not do something more harmful to yourself and your loved ones. You know, if someone handed you a loaded gun and said, oh, yeah, this is just a toy, do whatever you want. The fact that people are politicizing this and turning it into something that they think they can win shows how desperate they are. The latest example, in San Diego, there's a viral video going around of a San Diego area barista calmly serving a customer screaming about coronavirus mask rules and Black Lives Matter. When the video starts, one appears to be in the middle of a sentence and is speaking calmly.
Vote.
Is speaking calmly to barista Alex Beckham, who is black. When you talk to me like that, I know it's because you're discriminating against me because I'm a Trump supporter. The customer says, F Black Lives Matter. I need a straw. I'm sorry. Look at where we are. Look at the what we're living in right now. And Beckham, 19 years old, gives her a straw. Here you are. Thank you, the customer says. And I need sugar too, please. The raw sugar, like 2 packets, please. Wait to see where this goes.
Wait, she doesn't finish him off. She just keeps asking. Come on,
her.
I know there's a follow-up. There's got to be
look at this Karen here. That's a her. As Beckham fetches packets of sugar for the customer, she says, "The next time you come in, I need you to keep a mask on." "It's not a law," the customer says, her voice growing louder. Here we go. "It's a hoax. I don't have to wear a mask. I'm not going to wear a mask," she shouts. "This is America. I don't have to do what you say. Trump 2020.
Okay. Vote.
Now, if you've just said that, step back. Step back. And look at yourself. Look at what you're doing. Are you not in a cult? Just think about that. Just think about it for a moment. Are you not doing things that don't make any sense simply because other people around you are doing... Look, we're still here. We're still here for you. When you come out of this, we won't be able to give you a hug because of the pandemic, but we'll give you a thumbs up and encourage you to do more positive things that help you out, that aren't so insanely crazy, because that is what is happening. Anyway, Beckham responded to that by saying, "You need to leave, thank you." The woman starts to walk out of the door, but spins around and shouts back through the slightly ajar door, "F Black Lives Matter." Come on, people. This is not who any of us should be. And where Trump is leading people, it's such a bad place.
Vote.
I mean, you couldn't have written the script if you were on the opposing side saying, "I want to make somebody look as bad as possible." He's doing it for us. It doesn't seem to matter. People don't seem to care. But at some point, I'm convinced at some point, those crowds are going to turn on him. I just don't know when that's going to be. But wow, We are in the midst of massive death that never would have happened had we been tackling this in the proper way. You don't need any more evidence.
Well, I thought we were talking about politics for a second, but
we're talking about the
virus. Okay, yeah, the pandemic.
Pandemics, yeah. It's basically,
I think I blacked out.
New Zealand. Yeah, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Okay.
New Zealand has no cases because they did something about it early on. Wearing masks, social distancing, and keeping track. It's harder to do that in a massive spread out country like the United States.
Vote.
But look what happened in New York. The hell we went through in the spring. And right now, while it's going up in most parts of the country, it's not doing too badly here. It is going up, but it's not going up the way it's going up in those places that have not been observing the rules.
It's gone up a lot in New Jersey, and Cuomo announced that they're not going to limit travel from neighboring states, but the cases are going up a lot around the tri-state area.
And do they know why? Is it because people aren't obeying the rules or some other reason?
Well, all the things we've been hearing about, like third wave stuff, people being inside more, colder weather, et cetera, et cetera. I wish I had more actual details, but I know I read a little bit about...
It's the things that have been predicted from the beginning. When the weather gets colder, it's going to go up. Everyone has been saying this. Everything the scientists have said has come true. Yes,
vote.
They have said different things as they've learned more. At first they said, don't wear masks. We said it on this very program, it's stupid to wear masks. But when we learned more, we realized, no, you know what? Masks are the way to prevent it from spreading. And the evidence bears that out. So arguing against that makes absolutely no sense. Unless you're just, you know, your dad's a dick and you're just arguing to save the family honor. Look, this has to stop because we're going to be wiped out if we don't stop this. And that's where a lot of people seem to be heading. They don't care. They don't care. I'm glad Fauci is starting to get a little bit...
ticked off?
Yeah. I mean, he's been spending so much time trying to be diplomatic, not criticizing Trump directly. I think those days are over. Since they used his words to make it seem like he was endorsing Trump, that really ticked him off. And what's he now quoting The Godfather?
Vote.
Yeah, I think the latest today he was saying, just as in The Godfather, it's just business. And that's a whole different energy.
He's Italian-American. He can quote The Godfather and do it right.
I'm sorry. That's a whole different energy when Dr. Fauci's, like, you know, quoting The Godfather. It's a little different take. And I think it's appropriate in this context because he's been having to do so much work. But the real follow-up to that was that he's just trying to focus on keeping people safe. And when he said that, when I read that statement, I realized he's saying what Trump can't because he's not a leader.
Right.
I mean, that's what a president would say, is that I'm just trying to focus on protecting people. And I think you heard a little bit of that from Biden, like, you know, not addressing court packing because he wants to stick to
vote.
The election, the issues at hand, he doesn't want to make it about him or something else. You know, he's had similar foresight, thinking before he speaks, and I think that's refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah, and somebody like Dr. Fauci is somebody that you can listen to, believe, trust, without politics entering into it at all. And I think that's what he wanted. He wasn't going to endorse Biden. He wasn't going to endorse Trump. He was just going to give the science.
Well, and that's what's so crazy about the forecasting. Like, predictive models became controversial. And it's like, no, these are research universities that are using high-performance computing and models and statistics and as much data as possible, and they're doing you a service, just like the weather, just like knowing whether it's going to rain or whatever, you know. These are important things to listen to. They should not be controversial.
Vote.
Right, right. And there are, once you accept the science, there are ways of handling it so that your life is not completely torn asunder. So, you know, as far as shutting down economies, Not necessary if you wear masks.
Yeah, if you're if you like wiping down everything and wearing masks and if even if it bothers you but you have to do it, the less uptake with those practical steps, the longer it's going to drag out.
If you don't like it, you mean? If you yeah.
I was being a little sarcastic, you know. Mm-hmm. If you're having a great time wiping things down, keep not wearing things. Keep not following the directions.
No, you have to do both.
So
you have to
continue to do that.
Okay, let's be clear. You have to wipe things down and wear masks.
Yeah.
To be safe. All right, that is important, and that enables you to not have to shut down entirely and stay in your homes and not go out. You know, if you're just carefree and not wearing a mask and pretending like everything is normal,
vote.
You're going to have an outbreak that you won't be able to control, and a shutdown is going to be mandatory. This is how we avoid this. And if we all did this, the virus would have nowhere to go, nobody to infect. It would be gone fairly soon. But it's because of people like that woman in San Diego and so many others who just refuse to think it applies to them. That is why we are still in this. That is why, if there is another shutdown, it's going to come. Not because of politicians, because of people like that. Actually, yes, because of politicians, because idiots like Trump refuse to wear masks and encourage other people not to. If he told people to wear masks, all those people would do that, and this virus would diminish overnight. Well, it would take a few weeks, obviously, but that is irresponsibility.
Yeah, to say nothing of the past.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 220,000 people, you know, 220,000. Obviously, some people
vote.
Would have died from this pandemic, but nothing like that. That is complete irresponsibility. Never had to happen. Look at China. Look at where it started and how they are now and how many people died in total and how quickly they were able to control it in a much more densely packed country. You know, there is something we can learn if we simply accept the fact that we're not perfect.
I accepted that a long time ago.
Yes, yes. I'm always here to remind you.
Thanks for that.
Here's a sobering story. Dallas area woman died due to COVID while on a flight in Arizona. She was in her 30s, had underlying high-risk health conditions. And this happened actually in late July on the tarmac at a New Mexico airport. I guess Dallas County is in New Mexico.
Vote.
Her death was among the 554 confirmed new COVID-19 cases reported by Dallas County on Sunday. More than 8.2 million cases have been reported nationwide as of Tuesday afternoon. That's according to Johns Hopkins University data. And it shows that this affects people of all ages. Sometimes underlying health conditions add to it, sometimes not. It's just something that I was hoping we'd be through by now. You know, it's late October, and we haven't been to the studio since, what was it, March?
I lost track.
Yeah.
I think March.
So, 2 weeks, and maybe things will change. Although, it's going to be a crazy period.
Vote.
If I really do like this. This is, remember the Trump machine overheated? This one, I think people have learned a lot in 5 years. I think we have a better system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like even if things change on November 3rd, the period of time between then and January, when the actual transfer of power happens, I can't even guess what Trump has up his sleeve. It's gonna be kind of crazy.
Well, you have the holidays too. Nobody's gonna be getting together, but you have
again. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but there's I think people will be going from one event to another just to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as concentrating on something and not getting drawn into manufactured craziness.
Vote.
Or I don't know, disruption. Who knows? I think there's There's a lot of threats. There's a lot of ways it could go, but I think cooler heads will prevail.
At some point.
Eventually. I think it could get ugly initially, or maybe not. Maybe it'll be kind of calm, and then things will heat up a little bit. I think there will be some resistance. There might even be some altercations around the country.
It's not going to be a celebration like when Obama won.
I don't think these inductees to the cult, I don't think they're good losers. I mean, assuming they lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying that Democrats were good losers.
I listened to our show from 2008, Election Day. I think it was the week after Election Day.
Yeah.
And
vote.
We had just recordings of the street in New York City when Obama won the election. And what a historic day that was. You know, how celebratory everybody was. I don't think we're going to see a repeat of that on that like that. Well, maybe we will. I don't know. But I just think it's going to be less of a 100% celebration and more of like a celebration plus conflict. I don't know. I don't want to.
I will take no comfort in being a winner or seeing other people lose miserably.
Plus, there's a pandemic too, so that makes it even less.
No, this is just business.
Mm-hmm.
This is just moving ahead and putting 2020 behind us. I think and taking care of the country, as Dr. Fauci said.
We got a lot of letters this week for some reason. Well, we weren't able to see our films, unfortunately. We just didn't have time. But I can say the foreign film that we couldn't find anywhere.
Vote.
See, that's what happened to the Trump machine. It started. Okay.
Do you want me to, like, hit that?
No, don't hit it. Don't hit it.
Vote.
Okay, so we're just going to get it five times now instead of one time? Is that how it works?
What kind of fuse is that?
And it's not once a minute anymore.
That thing, I don't know if it can handle it.
Vote.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to turn it down a little bit because now it's starting to annoy me.
All right.
I'm going to vote. But, yeah, we were able to, thanks to our friends in the pirate world.
I'm sorry to have to
give credit to the piracy, but it wasn't available anywhere else, folks. Tell me where to find the film. And, it's not spending $700 for it, but whatever.
Sometimes
you have no choice. We'll get to it. We'll get to the film from, what year are we up to? 1982. Matt writes in, say, have you guys
vote,
ever seen...
Vote.
Have you guys
vote,
ever...
Vote. What now? Vote.
What do I do?
Vote. Vote.
Hit it.
Where's the cable?
Hit it.
Vote.
Uh-oh. I don't think you're supposed to hit it that hard.
Did we pay for this?
We're going to pay for it now.
Okay, just forget that.
I meant just tap it. We'll talk later.
1982.
Have you guys ever seen Local Hero, Matt asks. It's a great film. I know you've got your hands full with the movies from the year that was or what have you, but if you can find a spare 2 hours one night, check out this film. Actually, Matt, I have seen that film. I don't know if Kyle's seen that film. I love it. It's an amazing picture.
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't know the plot.
It's about a guy who works for an oil company coming to either, was it Ireland or Scotland, one of those places, and just basically he's supposed to come there to do something bad as far as set up some facility, but winds up falling in love with the place and working against. I'm ruining the film for anybody who hasn't seen it. But working against his initial interests. And I think even his boss comes over to chastise him, and the same thing happens to him. I'm not sure. I might be misremembering it. But it's a good film, if you still want to see it after I gave all the details away.
Yeah.
Lily writes, have you tried Scarecrow Video in Seattle? I imagine Kyle would know about this place. Hoping you're able to obtain the movie for your next show. Good luck. Thank you, Lily, for that. And, yeah, that's a great video store.
It is a fantastic video store. I know you've been there at least once or twice. I went there a lot in college when I was taking some film studies, specifically film noir, because they have an incredible old black and white collection. It's amazing the titles they have at Scarecrow, but for that class, a lot of the films I did write about were obtained that way. Another great place down there is Stadium Video in Tacoma. They have an excellent selection of foreign films.
We are out of time. There are more letters, actually, but thank you, people who care about us watching films. We will hopefully get to see them and see a lot more as well.
Vote.
Okay, the vote machine is still going in the background. I can't play the music without the vote machine, apparently. We'll see you next week. Good night. OTW at 2600.com.
Vote.